coming back on break.
So we'll coming back on break at 11:27 after a short little recess, and we'll move on to.
We're going to finish up item number A1 just to kind of go over the.
Okay.
I added this in the back of your information. Keep this if you want. I mean, it's good information, just basically as a reference on how to conduct meetings. I know the chair kind of already has some experience, but it actually is. This is an alternative to Robert's Rules of Order. So there was a judge that says, man, that's so archaic and so hard to understand. And so he kind of broke it down in a much simpler way to run meetings with organizations. A lot of cities are adopting these. A lot of special districts are adopting these rules of order. It's called Rosenberg's Rules of Order. And it's very simple. It breaks it down what to do, how to make a motion, how to do an alternative motion, substitute motion, talk about when people are out of order, how to stop debate, just basic principles of how to run a meeting. And whoever the chair, this might be good for them to kind of understand it. But you know what? We're such a small group that we could probably do without them. But this is just a reference for us to kind of like, if there's ever a technicality that we have to look it up, then we look it up. It's right here. That concludes item A1, Mr. Chair. A2 is our employee handbook. And we do have an employee handbook. It just needs to be updated. And some of the language here will allow us to actually update that. And the way I created this report, the way I reported it, is that I took only the summary of each resolution. So I took off all the whereases and just got to what the resolution does, and then I added that right here. So that way it was easier for you to just, instead of each resolution was like 3 to 4 pages, and then we have 33. If we have 30 of them, and you could just multiply the page, it would be too much.
Right.
So all I did was just add just the language, you could kind of get familiar with it. I did want to point out that we already adopted some of these resolutions.
Yeah.
So what I did, I put here adopted,
mm-hmm.
and the day that we did it, so that way you could read it, but know that it's already been adopted.
Right.
And then some of the other ones just need to be considered. Now again, we could go page by page, and if there's any edits or any questions about any of these policies, we should discuss it at that moment. Mm-hmm. There's one in particular that I think we could probably do without, but we'll get to it when we get to that item. So let's... Mr. Chair, when you're ready, we could go ahead and get started.
No, I think that absolutely. Are there any early questions on, and again, this is the employee handbook, which we have been going through over the last few months, adopting some of the resolutions, some of the policies, I should say, regarding sick leave and things of that nature. So just when we go through this, keep in mind what you should be in here. You know, rules, code of conduct, just basic things. So,
right.
So, Mr. District Manager, if you can lead us through this, that'd be great.
Okay, and I apologize; these are not numbers. So, we'll as we go along, we'll put a number on the bottom. So, it'll be interactive for us to stay alert. So, let's the first part is the anti-fraud policy. We already adopted that. The employees signed off on it already. I went through it with them. They signed the anti-fraud policy that they agreed to it. So that's already been done. If there's no questions on that, we can go ahead and switch to page 2. And on page 2, we adopted the protective footwear policy. Again, we buy boots for the employees to protect their feet. A certain type of boots, and it could hopefully help us with some of our workers' comp insurance. That was also adopted on September 12th. The adoption of the vehicle use policy. Somehow, I think I remember adopting that. We talked about how they have to be licensed and over. So I believe we did that already. I just didn't put adopted here, but in case there, because there's a difference between a policy and a resolution, right?
Correct.
So I just want to make sure if it's not a resolution, I'm going to bring that back to you as a resolution. But I think it was a resolution. So I just want to make sure if it's a res or not. Did we decide on that?
I believe it was a policy.
It was just a policy?
Back,
Okay, so I'm going to put here... vehicle use policy or reso, and if it's not a reso, I'll make sure I bring it back as a reso. Right. Okay. So that's page 2, and then that continues on page 3. Now, if we go to page 4, at the bottom, we'll talk about the adoption of a workplace violence policy. Again, it's just if you have any questions on that, that's standard. Everybody needs to adopt that. On the next page, which is page 5, you'll see that it has this one.
The adoption of the workplace violence policy.
Yes.
Did
Did everybody read it? Has everybody read it?
Yeah, that's pretty much any threat that goes on in the district, right? Anything workplace, you know, see a lot of the mass shootings that are going on, it's sort of like a little preemptive to that. It's just kind of like a workplace
policy. Did you have a question then?
No, I just want to make sure that everybody reads it. That's
yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean,
we can read it together if you'd like us to read it.
I would say yes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
So do we want to read it out loud?
Sure. Do you want to read it or do you? Okay. Adoption of the workplace violence policy. The safety and security of employees, visitors, guests, and others on district premises are of the utmost importance. Any acts of workplace violence or weapons on district property will not be tolerated. Workplace violence includes any acts or threats of physical violence, threatening behavior, or any other threatening disruptive behavior by any district on district property. Weapons of any kind, including all forms of firearms, are prohibited on district property. Violations of this policy shall lead to disciplinary action, which may include dismissal, arrest, and prosecution. Any person or employee who makes threats, exhibits threatening behavior, or engages in any violent acts on district property will be removed immediately and shall remain off district property pending the outcome of an investigation. District employees are responsible for notifying the district manager or designee immediately of if they witness threats, receive them, or are told about them. Employees should report behavior that they feel may be threatened when the behavior is job-related or might be carried out on district premises. The district does not tolerate acts of retaliation against an employee who reports an act of workplace violence. All reports of workplace violence will be taken seriously and provided with as much confidentiality as possible. Appropriate actions will be taken as necessary to ensure the safety of the employee who reports the acts. Immediate action will be taken whenever a situation arises that may endanger any employee or visitor to the district premises. If the district manager or designee is not available, employees should immediately report any threat or violence to local law enforcement agency as an emergency. It's in the handbook right now, mm-hmm. but we are just adopting the resolution to make sure that we adopt the resolution.
Right.
Yeah, that's very similar to the sexual harassment as well. And I talked to the employees about that as well. How even if it happens on the district, and that's something that we as a board needs to be trained. By the way, so I have to look at somebody come in and train each one of you or train all of us on sexual harassment. I already got my training earlier this year, but you have to do it I think every 2 years or something like that. Same thing with the conflict of interest. You guys need to be trained on that too. So I need to bring that in and get you guys now that we're complete. Again, I talked to them about that as well. But if anything like that happens on the site, one of our vendors harasses anybody or anybody from the street comes in and harasses a public person here, I have to step in. I have to be reported to me immediately. I have to step in and say you shouldn't be doing that. I have to engage.
Right.
Even though they're outsiders coming in, it's because I'm here. So it's all that has to. So it's very similar to that.
Yeah.
You have to stop that. And we're responsible to stop it right in the beginning. So. On number five.
excuse me.
Very important. Talking about that they're all at-will employees. That's very important. We have to repeat that. And also, this is our holiday leave policy. As you can see, we give our employees 11 holidays. The county gives 12. We give 11, which is pretty generous, and they're actually people are like very happy about that, which is good. I don't know if you have any questions on that.
These, as we mentioned, that these are adoption of, they will come before the
board. Oh, all that's coming back to you. As a matter of fact, these are going to be individual resolutions. So we're going to expect a big packet next month because they're going to be all the resolutions. I didn't want to do it twice. But,
sure.
And if we can do the edits here or whatever, but you're going to have the resolution next month, numbered and all, and then you guys, and we'll adopt it on the consent calendar possibly, unless you want to pull one to discuss the change, right? So
the number of days, you know, I own a small business, and I'm like, oh my God.
That could
be a lot of days off, but this is in line with the county.
Well, yeah, we kind of follow their lead. Right. Yeah, well, no, we're not county. We're independent. By the way, once you guys get appointed, I mean, you're an independent body. The county just appoints and kind of make sure we're in line, but we're our own government. They can't tell us what to do per se. They could make our life miserable, but you know, your guys are on their own. But we work with them. We have a good work relationship. We want to keep it. We align these based on some of what the county was doing. But at the same time, I mean, we didn't adopt all their holidays, right? But I mean, they have 12. We have 11, which is very generous. And I know that later on we'll see the one on birthdays. I don't think we should do birthdays because then that just becomes.
I noticed on this one it says that if the holiday falls on a Saturday, then the Friday or Monday will be taken off. So like 4th of July, 4th of July is on a Saturday, they'll get that Friday or Monday.
Well, they'll get the Friday off?
That's a little excessive.
And, oh, like what do you mean? Oh, well, we won't work on Saturday.
Yeah, it says they get a day off anyways though. So because if it did fall on a weekday, they would get it off. They would get a Friday off even if it does fall on a Saturday.
Yeah, so the holiday falls on a Saturday. So instead of working them on Friday or Monday, they're like, we have a holiday, but we didn't take the day off, right? So what they do, they'll take a day off either the Friday before or the Monday after to make it a 3-day holiday, but they still get paid for it, basically. It's a paid holiday. If they get paid their time.
I think you're asking is which day, Friday or Monday?
I just think it's excessive if the day falls on a Saturday. I think it's a courtesy if it falls on a weekday to get that day off.
I got
if
you.
It falls on a Saturday, I don't think it's necessary to have an extra
It's up to
day.
The board to decide. Yeah, it's up to the board, yeah. That's true. I know what you're saying. So if the holiday does fall on a weekend, sorry, you know, we're not going to get a day off during the week. But if it falls on during the week, then we'll just give it to you off. That's what she's saying.
Right.
And then, because some holidays are set. Like Martin Luther King is that Monday, mm-hmm. or President Day is that Monday,
right?
Or those are all set, right? Veterans Day usually that, or my mom.
Like Thanksgiving
Day.
Is a Thursday, but like Christmas, yeah. Christmas Eve, whatever.
Those, I mean, you know, those are set. But sometimes, I mean, the ones that move around could be. I think Veterans Day moves around, huh? Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
They're moving also for the July moves. I don't know which other ones.
Christmas moves.
Oh yeah.
Christmas.
Yes, so basically. I get what she's saying,
right?
But they still get paid that holiday.
Yes.
They just don't get that extra day off.
That is correct. So it's up to you what you guys want to do. If you want to give them the day off, pay day off, or you want to say you only get the.
I know that if it was me,
and
I'm the employee, I'm gonna want the day off, of course, and my pay.
Right.
But then I see that we only have a few employees.
Right.
That it's so hard to give them off because.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been here, 8 months now, 9 months, and I've dealt with some of these holidays already. It does feel a little bit kind of tight, like, oh my goodness, we got a day off. But I think they're kind of spread out a little bit to maybe like one a month, maybe, so it gives a little bit of breathing room. So it hasn't been that. I mean, like, this week is crazy because they got 2 days off, and I'm like, you know, it's like, I'm really stressing because I'm like, oh my goodness, right? Because I have to put 3 headstones down and people, you know?
Right.
So, but other than that, I think the other ones have been like kind of stretched out. So I think we'd be kind of planning ahead. Okay, we got to get all this done before the holiday and then we got to plan ahead. So that has allowed me to kind of build into it. So, but it all depends on the board how you guys want to do it. I mean, we're, like I said, we have 11 holidays. They're pretty generous. And if we guys want to, you know, how do you guys want to do that? Yeah. I mean... I just feel bad if we do take it away or we don't pay them for it or we don't have the day off for them. As you know, some people have families and so they want to spend the next day or 3 days, I don't know. It might be create good employee, you know, morale to kind of work with them, I guess, or give them a holiday off, paid holiday off. We don't, unfortunately, we don't give these employees retirement. So, I mean, for me, I'm always trying to help them out as much as I can because we don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Some people go to other jobs because of retirement. Some people leave other jobs to come here because we have health benefits.
Right.
So it's weird, right? They're not even thinking about retirement. They're thinking about health benefits, which is like a good enticing thing, right? And then we do have a voluntary retirement where they put in their own money and they retire, you know, for the retirement. That's great. But we don't even match it. We don't put nothing into it, you know. So I do think that the holiday thing, at least that might be a little bit of an entice. Like, oh, hey, you got 11 days, right? Oh, okay. You know, I don't know. It works in our favor somehow, I guess.
So, and if I understand the policy the way it's being presented, or as it is up for adoption when it comes to us, it would be that if it is a Friday, if 4th of July, let's pick on 4th of July, 4th of July lands on Saturday, the cemetery is closed on Friday.
Right. Or we could choose it to Monday, but it'd probably be Friday because it's closest to Monday.
Right. And if it's on Sunday,
right, it'd be Monday.
Then it'd be Monday.
Right.
And then, of course, we're... Okay, I mean...
Yeah. It's...
I understand what Allison is saying. Nevertheless, there are employees over here without benefits, basically. There's some good benefits in this and other that...
Yeah, we don't have
there's
all
no benefits
yeah,
whatsoever.
No.
So this is like, let it go and don't push it because you're going to create, and it's not to us. They don't care. It's going to be to the director. Director is going to be the on a point of the gun, and the employees are going to say, oh, this guy is taking us a holiday, he's creating a nightmare
because of
a holiday.
Right.
I would like to keep the holiday. And I think you got good employees. You got good people working for you, right?
Yeah. No, we got good employees. I mean, they've been great. I mean, they've been, like I said, we've been able to kind of attract some people to even apply just because we have the 11 holidays, right? So it's.
Which holiday are we missing?
I think it was like county. I think it was like. I think it was like Native
Caesar
American
Chavez
Day. No, I added that one
Caesar
on there.
Chavez
Native
Chavez
American. I think so.
Which one? Columbus Day?
Columbus Day.
Oh,
we don't celebrate Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We have that Indigenous People Day.
Oh, I think they have that one too. It was something like that. It was like, oh man, we can't, it'd be too much. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm already at like max, I think, you know?
I mean, does it even sound bad that if two took one day and two took Friday, two took Monday?
Well, it starts splitting it off like that. It's, you know, who did you choose and why him and not me?
Well,
and, you know, it's
yeah,
just
I mean, it's
beginning.
Like, That would be up to you, I guess. But I'm just saying, and let me ask another question. When you have these holidays, who comes and opens the cemetery?
Our volunteer.
Because the cemetery has to be open for visitors.
We have a volunteer that comes in and opens it up, the restroom, and opens up the exit, and then she comes in the afternoon, closes up the gate, closes the restroom, and closes the exit gate, and she's like, she does that every weekend.
Okay, and that's another question that I have too, because let's just say this volunteer goes on vacation. And
yeah,
I
got
here.
Oh my God.
Oh my.
Oh yeah.
And
wow.
What do you want in here? What do you want?
I think probably the counter. What do you think? I know that.
Okay,
just set up on the counter and then hopefully nobody comes in. But yeah, set up the counter. Or you can put a little bit off the lunch thing where the sign a little bit. So I if she does it, then it'll be me.
But it's your day off.
It doesn't matter. I have to be responsible to open
it
up.
I know, but the thing is, to me, it matters because it's your day off. So
yeah,
now you're not insured anymore because it's your day off.
Right. For me, I'm looking at it this way. I could pay one of these guys to do it, but then that's going to be very expensive. It's going to be, $40 an hour for them to be here? I mean, it'll be too costly.
The difference is they're hourly and you're on a contract.
Right. So I have to do it. I mean, I'm going to meet somebody here on Sunday. They're going to come on Sunday to buy a plot. They're gonna be here from out of town. They only got to them like, I'll be back Saturday from out of town. If you wanna meet me Sunday morning? She's like, great. I'm like, all right, we'll see you on Sunday morning. For me, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna do it. I have to do it.
So then basically, you're gonna give your volunteer Sunday off?
No, my volunteer is gonna do it no matter what. You're saying that if the volunteer cannot do it, then I'll do it. You know, that's the way I have it worked out with the volunteer. Volunteer do it. She does it every day, every weekend, every holiday. Thank you. If she cannot do it, then I'll do it. Or one of you guys will help me out if I'm out of town. But
and I've mentioned it
to
our district manager. Say, if you need help, let me know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just come in, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is like worst case scenario. Like the volunteer can do it. I'm out of town. I need somebody to help me in.
Sure.
Because, or I could get one of these guys to do it. They'll love to do it. Like, you're paying them time and a half. And then I think you can't bring them in just for an hour.
Right.
Pay them like 2-3 hours. We don't make
them. Yeah,
the
minimum.
Right. So it's like, dude, I'm gonna pay a lot of overtime. It's too expensive for us. That's why you have me on salary because that's I need to do it. You know, you don't want to pay extra. I don't want to spend the money on that. I mean, as much as they would do it, they would love to do it. They want to get overtime.
Yeah.
You know, some of them, when we have our meetings, they fight over who's gonna do it because they want overtime.
But and I would say, by the same token, when you put in that extra time, if during the course of the day or in the late afternoon, there's a conference for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and it's still inside of your shift, you should go. You know, you don't put in sick time or anything like that because you kind of build up this bank.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know that my feeling always has been that for employees, they make such little money that anything we can do to make their life more pleasurable, you know, we should do. So I would be in favor of, if the holiday falls on a weekend, to go and go ahead and give them, you know, the Friday or the Monday off and pay them. But what I also want to throw into the mix, and particularly since you mentioned that because you're going to be down 2 days, that holiday of the day after Thanksgiving, and this is just something to think about. Maybe that's the perfect holiday for the employee.
Oh, does it get
somewhere, you know, in the over the year, you know, whenever their birthday falls, maybe they get their birthday off. Maybe.
Well, put it this way, before they didn't have that day off. Mm-hmm. So we added it, the board added it just this year, right? And they added Cesar Chavez. So from last year to now, we actually added like 3 holidays. So we're actually good. I don't think we didn't push it. I don't think we did, and I think they are very appreciative of that because we went from like from 7, you know what I mean? So we're, you know, they had 7 or 8, now we're at 11. So they're like, wow, you know, they're excited. So I think they're good. I don't think we did a takeaway. We really don't find them. We don't have anymore. I think the birthday will be kind of weird because I just don't. I don't know. It's coming up right now. I don't like the idea. I don't know. But
it's also illustrative for all of us is that we have come in at different times.
Yeah, that's true.
Board, and so we're not necessarily aware of what has transpired in the past and what the discussion was.
True. And I apologize. Yeah, that's true. And when I got here, they didn't have an actual holiday schedule. They did, but it wasn't that up to date. So now we updated it with a new board. So it's working right now. So I think we can hold off a little bit on it. We just need to formalize it in this resolution. Right. And again, we could, as a matter of fact, when it comes to the budget discussion next year, we could always revisit this too as we go into the next budget year. So, you know, but I think right now, I think we might be okay.
So that I think the consensus is, or the direction is, that we're going to keep the 11 holidays.
Okay, I think that, yeah, that would be reasonable. Okay, adoption of the equal employment opportunity policy. Again, that's just standard language. Dress and grooming policy. I think that's important, making sure that we're all dressed appropriately. We have uniforms, right? And we have to make sure we. I try to emphasize a lot on their hair or wearing the right headwear. Either the right cap or something that looks presentable to keep consistency. I already ordered some hats for them, but I want to see if we can get something consistent. Adoption of emergency leave policy, that's also another consistent. Adoption of a voting time policy. I guess we haven't gone through any elections yet since I've been here, but I definitely want to remind, I would remind them to either vote early, vote by mail, or because we get out at 4:30, so that's plenty of time to go to the polls and be voting before 8. So I don't think that's gonna be an issue, but we'll see. The birthday paid leave policy, that was also suggested by the attorney. I don't think it's necessary. I think we could do without this one. So it's up to the board. My opinion is I think we just don't, not bring this one forward.
What would be the board discussion on this?
I say no. I say, it was your birthday, you came to trustee meeting.
Yeah. You know, they do have vacation time and holiday time. I mean, we get sick time, they could use any time they want, however they want.
Trustee Allison?
You're an adult, you work on your birthday.
Okay.
I think that'd be a little overly generous.
Yeah. So, Waldo, I need to add.
No. For me, I'll give him a holiday. Give him a birthday, give me everything. I mean, I was working for other people, so I know exactly what. But no, I'll go with you. I'll go along with it.
Trustee Wyatt, for you. What are your thoughts?
My wife always took her birthday off, but they didn't have a birthday leave policy. It was just one of the approved excused absences if you wanted to use your sick time.
Yeah, and we do that. We were flexible as far as their sick time. They didn't go to court, they have no more vacation time. If you take a sick day, that's fine. They do the interchangeably. So.
Well, I think it, my feeling is that you work on your birthday. And I don't think that this policy needs to be in here. Is that the consensus of the board?
Yes.
And can we remove this policy from the handbook?
We'll do. Okay. On the next page, page 8, that's adoption of outside employment policy. Again, some people do have second jobs to make sure that they comply and don't interfere with the job. The next one is the Immigration Reform and Control Act. Again, we do follow as many regulations we need to make sure that they are U.S. citizens when they work here or legal residents.
If I can quickly jump back to the outside employment policy.
Yeah.
They're asked to provide a written request to engage in outside employment. And this is really to protect us from a conflict of interest, I would imagine.
That, and also the, you know, people get injured in other places. Make sure that we always keep a track of that. We're working over there. We need to get hurt here or there. You know, that begins to kind of like, you know, what kind of work are you doing over there? It's going to stress you over here. Because we do physical work here. And if you're going to do more physical work over there, I'm going to make sure that, you know, we want to make sure we're
protected. Okay.
Yeah. Next page, page 9. This is adoption of payday policy. We pay every 2 weeks, not twice a month. We pay every 2 weeks. So, I mean, we'll make sure that the language is used appropriately because that's the way we've been kind of doing it. You know. And then working, some people wanted to go by, somebody mentioned, why don't you go twice a month? But then it becomes kind of like, some of these folks, they paycheck to paycheck, right? So you don't want to, I try to get it to them as fast as I can. Right? So.
And how is payroll processed through what service?
Oh, we do ADP. I mean, not ADP, no. QuickBooks, yeah. We turned over with our
revenue. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been good. It's been really good, actually.
Good.
Again, the jury duty policy, we offer 5 days, which is very, very good. We offer bereavement policy, bereavement leave, 3 days. We have a death provision policy as well, but I mean, that's just basically the provision that says if you die, that's your employment ends that day, obviously. So we just kind of make sure our benefits and everything paid and everything. We don't have any life insurance for the employees, adoption of employment as a relative, obviously we can employ other people's relatives. I think they did that a lot here before.
Yeah.
So. excuse me, Tony?
Yeah.
On the jury duty policy?
Yeah.
Where it says jury duty less amounts received from other sources for the jury duty?
Yeah.
Because they get paid $30 a day or something?
It could be
like
something like that, yeah.
So then you actually deduct the.
Yeah. We get because every guy got some pay for being there. So we.
I got my old job, it was 2 weeks. And they did not do that.
They let you keep your money?
Yep.
Oh.
And
I
worked
there
for 25 years and I was on jury three times and I've never.
It's usually not that much money anyway.
It's literally
not that much. But I mean, it's up to you guys. I mean, the board can say, look, you can just keep what you got. Sometimes they reimburse on their mileage too if they got to go far away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the board. I mean, because we're gonna pay them their full salary and benefits, everything, but they never came to work. They just did jury duty. So, it's the board can actually let them keep that too. I mean,
I don't remember it's in your FARC issue. What is the policy? Do you remember?
Oh, they probably have more, no?
The school district, the policy is that they have to reimburse the money.
You get a check, you give it to them, but you keep the mileage.
That's my understanding too.
Oh, yes.
But most employers, they're like, the check that you get from the jury duty, you sign it over to the cemetery, we keep it, and then we just get you keep your full pay.
They give you the option that you can either keep that jury duty money or forfeit your day of pay or hand over the check.
Wow, what a choice.
Yeah.
What a choice. Ouch.
But I think it's for legal reasons that they give you the option.
Yeah. So there might be a gift to public funds too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to say, oh, yeah, you could keep it. Oh, well, that you already paid him for the week, and you're going to give him to keep that, you know, I don't know.
Right.
It could be a little bit of that, maybe. That's what they're, usually that's a public entity, you know, a school district, that's the way they have with
the
school district.
Well, I work for the state of California, so I work for the state, and at the WIC program for 25 years, and I did jury duty 3 times, and all 3 times, they gave me my pay, and I was able to keep my measly.
It's not that much. But well, it explains
why the state is always in a deficit.
All the jury duty money.
I actually work for a nonprofit, too.
Well, that could be up to the board. The board could actually say, you can just keep it. For us, it works either way, because we would have to deduct it, so.
I'm just thinking, isn't that something that jury duty says either you get paid or you return it back to us?
No.
No?
The jury duty, when you're jury duty, the option is to donate it back to them. You can donate it back to them and not get paid.
That I know.
Yeah. But if they do get the money, then the most employers say, we want that money because you're going to get full pay. I've seen that happen a lot. I don't know.
Not the mileage.
Not the mileage.
The mileage belongs to the person.
Yeah, not the mileage.
No, sir.
But again, it's up to the board how you guys want to do it. You guys want to have them bring it back or they can keep it. It's up to the board. Yeah.
I think the I think this would be a benefit that would not cost us a great deal if they were to get their full pay and then keep the payment from jury duty. I think, you know, the chances of them being selected, it's random. It's not something that happens every month or every 3 or 4 months. So
literally every 2 years, maybe, if you're chosen.
So I think it'd be a little bit of a perk on the positive side if it ever comes to going to jury duty.
I think it's an incentive, and that kind of, you have to be registered to vote to become a juror. I mean, that's an incentive in itself.
I'll go for it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, it's no skin off our back if we're still paying them the full day, so I say they can keep it.
I agree that if they're going to become a juror, I think that they should be able to keep what they receive from jury duty and their pay.
Okay.
Then let's with the unanimous consent, we can give that direction to staff, and they can write up the jury duty policy for our approval.
Okay.
Of course, it's up to 1 week.
Yeah, well, only give 1 week.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
I will run it by the attorney just to make sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if they're going to be fine, but it would be a great incentive. That would be, I want to do jury duty because then I get extra.
Right.
I don't know. Okay, so that's a jury duty policy. Bereavement policy, death policy. On the next page, you'll have the adoption of overtime, right? How that overtime works. Family care and medical leave policy. That's mostly state and federal too, so that's very important. If we don't have any questions on number 10, we'll go to the next one.
I have another question.
Sure.
So the adoption of bereavement leave.
Oh. Yes.
It's 3 days pay.
Yes, 3 days off per year.
Can we change that to 3 days pay? But I'm just asking. What if they have to leave the country?
Then the user, they might have to use their sick time or vacation time or something like that.
I say, and this is Linda. If they have to leave the country and they have proof that their airline says they left the country, or their train ticket or their bus ticket says they left the country, Michael Martinez, he should get 5 days pay for bereavement.
School district policies are like that. Out of state, local 3 days, out of state 5.
Ours was like over 300 miles, I think it was. Or maybe over 500 miles, or out of the country. Or
okay.
I mean,
it's up to the board, however you want to decide. I mean,
you can decide.
I think that's reasonable because obviously, let's say somebody had to go to Mexico for the funeral of their mother. It's going to take a while to get there and come back, right? Mm-hmm. So.
But again, with proof, and I know sometimes there are
proper documentation.
Correct, proper documentation. I would say proper documentation. of immediate family. Now, because your cousin's husband died.
Well, it says right here, immediate family includes spouse, significant other, grandparent, grandchild, sibling, blood relative, living with employer, step-parents, grandparents, step-siblings.
Correct. But like I said, if your cousin's husband died.
Yeah, for those, it's like, if one day bereavement will be paid yearly to prevent the death of an aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, cousin. That's a one day for those guys. For the cousins. But everybody else, immediate is 3 days. Now, you could go to 5 days if you want, and I'll double check it with the attorney, but we could go to 5 days if that's what the wish is.
I would say.
Well, if it's something at a distance.
Oh, did you want to say out of state or out of country?
Well, I would.
Out of state, I think.
Out of state?
And that covers out of country.
Yeah.
Okay, out of country or state, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And again, with documentation.
Got it. I'll also run it with the attorney on that one. Okay. All right. Death provision. We have the employment of relatives. Okay. Next page is the overtime, family care, and medical leave. That's all standard language that we have to adopt. Workers' compensation insurance policy. We already have that. We must have provide that for the employees. We have the pregnancy and disability leave policy. Again, that's standard language of the. That's always going to be periodically updated because it always changes, but that's this is the latest. Adoption of medical information, confidentiality procedures. That's all the HIPAA privacy issues. Again, standard language for the federal and state. That's still on this page as well. The next page after that, it talks about adoption resignation policy. When employees resign, give us at least 2 weeks notice. If not, that might, you know, put the pressure behind that. Layoff policy, obviously we're at will, so pretty much anybody could be laid off. And there's reasons why.
Hang on, so can you go back a few pages to the pregnancy disability leave policy?
Yes.
It seems to be more common that companies also have a bonding period for the parent and the child. I don't even know if that's law.
I think the FMLA is law.
It covers it, yeah.
Oh, you think it's part of that?
Yeah, it's all part of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all in all there. Right. Oh, yeah. That's why this is, we just adopt this. It's already standard law. We can't even.
Okay.
I would like to go back a little bit farther back to the adoption of the overtime policy.
Okay.
And I apologize. What is the form of authorization that will be given? Is it a time card that's signed? Is it, how is it the authorization documented so there's not a dispute later to say, well, wait a minute, I asked you for overtime and you said yes, and you said no, I didn't say yes, I said yes, we need to finish that project. How is that,
is there? I've been here, I think that the only incident that has occurred with a misunderstanding was when I first got here. So somehow the time she just sent an extra hour and like, who approved this? Oh, because I stayed later. I'm like, yeah, I didn't approve it.
Right.
Yeah, so I made it clear.
Okay.
Nobody stayed after this. I approve it. So we haven't had anything since after that.
Okay, all
right. So basically right now, the way we do it is I asked them ahead of time, like, oh yeah, we have a board meeting coming up. I need a sergeant at arms out here to watch and monitor and make sure everything's good. So we have volunteers, okay, then we'll have whatever time we have over time. Obviously, on weekends when we have a funeral, they get 5 hours overtime, right? You know, we had an incident one time that lasted a little bit longer because something happened with the family. They got here late, so it's not their fault. Okay, give an extra hour, but very rare.
Okay.
I mean, most of the time we kind of already know. We haven't had any overtime really. I mean, at all.
Gotcha.
Because I've been really good about it. And then they kind of already know the limitations, so we're good.
Okay,
we
you bring up a good point, because you don't want to wind up in front of the board if your employee says, well, I'm coming to work, and the supervisor, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, perp always goes to the lowest level and supports them. And I have been in places where there's a pre-authorized form where everybody signs off and it's understood. You know, board meeting at night, need somebody to watch the door, you know.
Yeah, the timesheet, on the timesheet will allow for overtime too, and we sign under timesheet every pay period, and they add all the overtime there, and we sign off on it, usually, every pay period 2 weeks, so, the overtime, but are you thinking about like a whole separate sheet to kind of like...
No, just some way to protect, the cemetery from somebody saying, I worked, you said it was okay, and then there's no, I didn't say it was that type of thing.
Right, yeah, usually it's like, no overtime.
Gotcha.
No overtime, and if there is, okay, got it. And we usually I tell Anna, "What, you're hungry?"
No.
The food's getting cold.
Yeah.
It's sandwiches.
Just two questions.
Okay.
One.
No, we only have two more pages.
What?
Are you gonna go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're not gonna eat with us?
No, but I brought you a treat and a little treat, and it's Eddie's birthday.
Yeah, one of the employees and you guys.
So I brought him cake because.
It's a birthday. We give the day off.
That's a good one right there, man. Good one. One, two, three, four.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, four. Okay. Okay.
Bye.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanks. We only got a few more items.
Two questions.
Yes.
Do they have a punch? Do they punch in?
No. Sometimes I wanted to, but no, they sign in. There's this machine that you can punch in and do all that. They're free for all that. You know, you punch in for lunch and now, you know, that's accountable right there. You can't be late, you can't be just, you know, very strict, right? So that's a little bit very restrictive. I don't think we're not there yet. We could though, I mean, I could look into a machine and have them punch in and out.
Well,
not a
problem. That was the question. Number two question was, the gentleman that stays after when we have our meetings in the afternoon,
do they
take turns?
Yeah, they alternate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, one time one of them was supposed to stay, and then they said, I can't do it, and I don't feel good. So luckily the other one stepped in, I'm like, you know, I was like, dude, it's like, why don't you give your word, right? So, but they actually appreciate that overtime, so the other one might stay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. And it's helpful because we, you know, being here, I can't watch out there, right? And somebody's asked a question or something's going on, I can't. At least I stay out there, sergeant at arms, and watching around. So
I have a question. Linda, I'm sorry. Before you were hired, before you started working over here, the policy was completely different. There was no policy.
There was nothing.
There was no laws, no regulations, nothing.
No.
So when you came in, the employees were happy or unhappy, or what was the situation?
They were confused. They were scared. They didn't know what was going on, you know? It's all turmoil, investigations. They didn't know what...
That they could lose the job?
That too, because they were threatened so many times. And, yeah.
So that means the employees are very happy with the job that they got over here?
No, it begins to feel more secure. More
with rules.
Yeah,
with
I mean, like there's structure, there's ways, there's policymakers now. They know who, you know, that before it was just free for all.
Yeah. And do they have knowledge of everything that we're approving over here?
Yeah.
Do they
know? Like, when we have our meeting, we've had discussions, like the anti fraud policy, we had a meeting right after that. We talked about it, what you guys adopted, what's expected of them, they sign off on it.
Okay. And there's no abuses.
No, like once we finalize this record, I'm gonna probably do another study session with them, a new manual, right? This is the go over.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do all that. Yeah.
DJ session.
Yeah.
Osvaldo, have you ever met them?
No, never.
We go
after
this. The reason I'm
asking. Excuse me. I met this young lady over here, and she's a fantastic person.
Oh,
very nice.
Well, Anna is great, and actually the employees that we have out there are actually pretty great themselves.
Yeah.
A few months ago, we made the policy about the shoes, and they were really, really happy that they even came in here, all of them, and they were like, oh, my God, thank you guys so much. So they were very thankful. They were like, I mean, they were kind of like a little kid eating candy, like, gosh, you guys got these shoes for us. We feel safer, you know. It was just...
Yeah. Well, because they never had that kind of, maybe the uniform
they,
out, they're proud of it, you know.
They're happy. Well, my intentions of asking the questions is,
aren't they happy with all the policies and all the things that we make?
They want stability also.
I'm not, I'm not saying, oh, they must be happy. They work, they're workers, they have to do their duties. But nevertheless, since you took over, things changed.
I think the structure-wise, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, that they had no structure before. I think that's, I mean, some of them didn't even know how much vacation time they had available, how much sick time they had available, stuff like that. It's like, dude, that's, I mean, you know, you depend on that, right? Oh man, you know, I take a vacation, you know, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. All that wasn't in place. I mean, even it took months to correct that, because we had to go back all the way to January, like, oh, how much do we owe you? So we had, you know, we fixed all that, you know, we set up a policy, but there was no structure. So I think that stability, that structure is what really makes it easier.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. So anyway, so we're now on the page where it says adopting a resignation policy, layoff policy, probationary period. It says 6 months there on probationary period. I think that's way too long. I would like to do 90 days. I think it's 90 days right now. If you don't mind, I would love to keep it at 90 days. And I'll double check with the attorney to make sure that's okay, if the boards are willing to continue with our 90-day policy.
Where is that at, Tony?
On where it says adoption of probationary period policy. I don't have a page number, so it's
near the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
The top of the page says adoption of resignation policy.
Yeah, probably that one right there. Yeah, so it's just 6 months. I think that's a long time.
I think so,
too. 90 days is more than plenty. I think sometimes our problem is we have to wait at least, I like to wait a couple months before I order uniforms or boots or health insurance, because if they're gone in less than a month, man, I just spend $900 on insurance, $200 on the uniform, and you know, boots another $200. It's like that's $1,300 to $1,500 a pop, and then they leave.
Right. 90 days is 3 months. It's plenty.
You know, that's I think by the second month, I think we kind of get a feel for it, and we'll see, and then we'll order it at that time. You know, but anyway, so I think 90 days is more than plenty. We're all at will anyway. So it's not like, you know, become permanent. We don't, we're all at will. So even if it's probationary, you know, it's always at will. So,
well, if it's all at will, we don't even need that policy.
Yeah, for us it's good, because it gives me a chance to kind of, before I order their medical, before I order other stuff, give me the probationary period to kind of know if it's the right fit. And give them an expectation of, you know, it's a little bit, even though we're all at will, at least it's like they feel some permanency, I belong here now, versus, you know, I mean,
then maybe that sentence there, permanent part-time or full-time employment is not guaranteed at the conclusion. Maybe something needs to be said along the lines that it's still at will.
Yeah, I think
because that's what we have in the other part of the policy. It's in conflict with this.
No, permanent part-time or full-time employment is not a guarantee at the conclusion of this time period. Yeah, I would think it's a.
Safeguard. It's a safeguard.
Yeah, because what that implies is that at the end of the probationary period, it's not guaranteed that you're going to continue your employment.
The previous sentence to that, it says that employment is at will and may be terminated at any time with or without cause or notice, both during and after the probationary period. So that covers the at will part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just that is just for us to kind of like this.
Okay.
So yeah, if you don't mind, I'll change that to 90 days if the board's okay with that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I think the 6 months is way too much. All right. Adoption of workplace searches and inspections. That's what we have right now. Adoption of confidential employee policy. Adoption of cell phone and wireless services policy. We don't. Nobody has a cell phone, so we have it there in case, but. Adoption of computer system inspection. Nobody uses the computer except me and Anna, so those could be all inspected by you guys anytime you want. Adoption of grounds for disciplinary policy. These are all the reasons why somebody could have some sort of disciplinary action against them, and it's a couple pages long. And that's pretty much it. If you want to, if any of those reasons why they should be, you know, dismissed or could be dismissed, it's a few of them, but it's good to itemize them, make sure that they know, right, as an employee, what things could be, can, you could be written up for. So
just to be a pain in the neck, it's just a hypothetical. So number 31, gambling on district property or while conducting district business. Well, obviously, I think what is in mind is somebody's playing craps in the back or something like that. But what happens if there's the Super Bowl and you guys have a Super Bowl pool? In effect, that's gambling.
I mean, you know? If they're on their usually on their break time, they'll sign up for it and that's it. I don't think they're gonna watch the game and start gambling or start. You know, I think that's it's like a lottery.
The idea of you buy a square.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's technically gambling.
Right. Or when they all.
But nobody ever forces that.
Or like when they pull their money together and buy a Super Lotto ticket.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's habit. I don't think that's the kind of we're looking for. But I think that's. And I think all these are may lead to disciplinary action. I think that don't, you know, something like that you're talking about might not be something that, you know, might happen just because we're probably, you know, just pitching in on a game. But I don't know. You're right. I mean, anything could be.
Well, I mean, that's a literal interpretation. But really, when you have a policy handbook, it's just a guide.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is.
And so you, as the district manager, have lots of flexibility, which is really the whole point when you bring that up.
Yeah.
Tony, it says employees may be subjected to disciplinary action, including termination.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything here that's immediate termination? Or is it like, okay, here's a write-up for...
It's such discretionary because you go from 0 to 60 on anything, right?
Right.
I mean, if it's your first time and something happened, you know, what's going on? Why did you do that? You know, it's like, you know, you could get terminated. There might be something happening at their home or life or something, or maybe they just, or it might be like the third time of doing something else, it's time for you to go, you know, it just depends on what.
It's the employee's first disciplinary action, and he's engaging in sexual activity at work.
That might be bad. That could probably be expulsion right there. That could be termination, right?
See, that's what I'm asking. So I mean, what's the limit?
I would, for me, that would be up to, that's where I would make the determination as the manager of this place. What that for me would be like, dude, you gotta go. Now, excessive absences and tardies, man, dude, that bothers me a lot. So I would have to probably give them a few warnings before I get rid of them because, you know, things happen. I get it. We're in Southern California, right? I get it. But don't make it a habit, right? So I would really give them a couple of times before, and unfortunately, we let a few people go just because they came here late. And a few times over, I'm like, dude, you just can't do this, so we gotta let you go. So,
I mean, is there a way that we can, as a committee, say these ones are immediate termination?
I believe that discretion falls on me as a administrator of this place.
Okay,
I would hope that I would do the right thing by you, like getting rid of people who might do something like really bad. But I mean, you know, it's there's some things that I think are very intolerable. It's just, you know,
number 17.
Well. I think this, if I can jump in a little bit, I think what this goes to, and I do agree that the district manager, it's at the district manager's discretion.
Yeah.
The only concern I have, and this might be a question you might want to ask legal counsel, is if an employee is, everybody's at will. So if an employee shows up late once, shows up late again, and you write him up, does that make it a progressive disciplinary policy, which is not at will? You see, I have all faith in you.
Yeah.
So I completely support the fact that it's at your discretion. But if you have an employee that, you know, didn't wear his boots today, didn't wear them the next day, well, do you write him up? Because if you write him up for this, do you write this employee up for something else? And now you have what may be a discrimination case because, wait a minute, our employment is at will. You're writing him up, but why aren't you writing me up? Because so I don't want any
responsibility of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's policy, but it's up to the district manager.
Yeah. And that's something I think as because you guys are the policy makers, and then I have to execute on me a staff. And that would be fall on me to kind of make sure that these wishes, and we put all these in here because these are all reasons to get fired.
Right.
It's just different variations of. But you're right. I mean, I thought of this a lot, right? Because we both come, you two, we all come from the USD. We're all teachers, and we all know that, hey, you know, it's mostly progressive,
yeah.
And then you got rid of it because we're in that union environment, right? We got a show, right? It's like, man. You know, and you gotta provide that, you know, what we
must say. So
sure.
Something
seems to me that the environment over here is very good right now. I suggest a peaceful environment, and congratulations to you, Tony. And before you end the meeting, all this stuff has been absolutely amazing. Congratulations to put all this stuff together to us, because it's very important. I have one question before you end the meeting, Mr. Chairman. I have a radio program, and I'd like to be on the past. I invite Tony, who was my guest, etc. Am I infringing the rules?
No.
I can have the chairman.
Oh, that would be a good idea. That's a good break icebreaker to get some exposure and get our message out there.
Absolutely.
And then you know, either of us could all take a turn, or I could put some information.
My community is pretty good size over here in the city of Artesia and Cerritos, and they basically see the cemetery over here as something that is for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for my community. And we're going to have to change that perception.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to change the perception, I start inviting people to come over here and talk to Tony before, so they can show the cemetery, because they never walk into that door. They have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
They think that the cemetery is just other religions.
Yes.
They're not Catholics, so that's it. So I want to know exactly if I break any rules.
No, not at all.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you for that. That's wonderful to have that opportunity to promote the cemetery, because it is really has turned into a beautiful place. But going to the policy, you may want to check or change the verbiage to say may also result in, and again, I'm not an attorney, but the employee policy may result in a written warning, suspension, or even up to immediate termination,
mm-hmm.
and at the discretion of the district manager.
Mm-hmm.
The legal counsel can guide you on that. And,
yeah.
You know, just so you're protected, because if it goes to unemployment and you challenge the unemployment, you're going to have to show records as to why,
Right.
So.
And we usually try to keep notes of every time we talk to them about
right.
something, and that's just the way we want to do
that. Absolutely.
And, but even though they're at will, Anna always says, it's better to just show continuous efforts of you talking to them, just because, people sometimes they want to know why, and you want to tell them why. This is what happened, and this is what I have proof. And if it ever goes to any kind of hearing, they'll say, my notes prove otherwise, and Anna's gone through that too, and I'm sure. Mike's done that as a former principal. He has to kind of show proof.
Not only as a principal, but one of my assignments in LA Unified was I was one of the staff relations directors. I went to PERB to defend the district from employees who were appealing their termination. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, PERB has made some decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Judges have made some decisions that would make your jaw drop, and which makes it very difficult to remove recalcitrant employees. But the keys are, you have to demonstrate that you provide guidance and assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, there are court cases, decisions that have been made where if you don't specifically state you can be terminated for this, this, and this, then by implication, it's okay. The behavior is okay. You have to tell someone you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as silly as that sounds,
Really.
I mean, common sense wise, it's
Yeah.
this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the courts have ruled.
Right.
Now, your challenge as the district manager, as was my challenge as a principal, is when do you ramp it up and you begin the process? Because once you start down that road, there's a very low probability that you're going to turn that employee around. So I used to, if I had a good employee and suddenly they're coming in late or they're being sharp with people, I might call them into the office, or if I knew them well, I might say, hey, let's go for a cup of coffee. And I would kind of just gently approach this. I noticed you've been a little out of sorts lately, so on and so forth. Behavior doesn't improve, then I might talk to them a second time. But then I have to issue the memo, let them know just what pieces of their behavior I don't like and why. give them the guidance and assistance. You know, I expect you to be on time for your job. Your shift begins at such and such time, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you need three or four of those mm-hmm. before now you can really move. But the end part of this game is a lot of times when you reach that point, you can say, hey, listen, I don't think this is going to work out. And I'm really going to have to let you go. But I don't want to put something negative into your personnel file. I don't want to have to give a negative recommendation when somebody calls to ask about your performance. It'd be a lot easier if you just resigned. And then you're clean. And they resign, there's no unemployment, they left voluntarily. You know, but again, that's up to you as the district managers to how you're going to handle this and, you know, how you're going to maneuver through the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Very delicate.
It is.
Very delicate. But
it is unfortunate because you've got good guys
mm-hmm.
and we've got a good team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and but these policies are for people down the road and, you know, new hires that may come on board. You have to have something to protect the cemetery. It is... I've gone through that where you have an employee that needs to be disciplined, and what we came up with was a corrective action memo.
Mm-hmm.
Please change this behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's what I need you to do. Please come in on time. Please. So it's not so much negative as it is please work on these things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know.
Yeah, that's good too.
You know, that's just the way we do it, but everybody and everybody's different.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I won't be selling any Super Bowl pools here.
Yeah. That's it. All right. So I think that's pretty much it, guys. That's it.
Right.
And I appreciate your time. That was really good. And as we conclude, I just want to ask you a quick question. Sometimes people want to get your phone numbers. They want to talk to you. That's only happened once, but. I need to prepare. I would create business cards for all of you, unless somebody says no. If you don't want a business card, let me know. We won't order it. But is it okay to put your personal email, or you want to use a different email? That's what I need from each one of you, and also which phone number if you want to put a phone number. I could put just this phone number here, and they could call here, and then we'll just forward it. I'll send you an email saying this person called you about this, and we'll take messages for you.
Well, my preferences would be to do exactly what you said, and the email can be the info at, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay, yeah, we could use the general email.
And then forward it, you know.
Oh, okay, we could do that. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we could, so you could put the general email here. That's actually a good idea. General info email. And then we could use the general phone number here, too, and then we could screen the calls for you, and like, oh, this person called you from here. Well, I could call back, and then I just put an email to you, and then you're on your own if you want to call them back or not. But that's what the people are going to do. They're going to, I could always send you an email, or you could give them your cell phone and your email personal, and then they're going to grab your card and they're like,
yeah.
I'm calling all of them.
On,
you know?
On my card, I'd like to have the cemetery email, the mail address.
Why don't I do that?
But the telephone, I'd like to have my cell phone.
Okay, good. So there are going to be different preferences here. I'm going to make sure we write them down. So I know we should.
Tony, I need everybody to write, print. Me, their names clearly, so I can make the nameplate for the photo.
Okay, so we'll handle that after the meeting's over, so we can kind of conclude. Okay, so Mr. Chair, I think we're done with our official business.
Yes, I think we are. When is our next regular scheduled meeting for December? Do we have that?
Yes,
date?
We are adjourning to Thursday, December 12th at 4 p.m.
Thursday, December 12th?
Yes.
At 4 p.m. Okay, we adjourn our meeting today at 12:30, and we adjourn to our regularly scheduled meeting of December 12th at 4 p.m. for the Artesia Cemetery District Board of Trustees. Very nice.